Hey there, everyone. It's Nurse Kelly, the Chief Nurse Advocate for Wanderly. You're listening to another episode of The Happy Traveler, where we talk all things travel healthcare and how incredible this industry is. And we have awesome guests come on, and today is no different. So today, we have a PT gal, a PT traveler, and foodie, I would like to add, because that's definitely included in today's podcast. Her name is Alexis Hutchings, and I'm so excited to talk with her because she has a lot of good insight about the PT travel world. So Alexis, hi, thanks for coming on. Do you want to give yourself a quick intro?
Oh yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about this. I'm a traveling physical therapist. I've been going at this career for about 2.5 years. I'm from a small town in Connecticut that no one's ever heard of. It's called Goshen. We are known for our fair, however. So if you have heard of Goshen, it's usually because of our giant fair. I'm currently working. What was that?
I said, ooh, cool.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. We have like a derby where like cars like crash into each other and it's kind of wild. But I'm currently working in Santa Barbara in a home health position, and I absolutely love it here. So I don't know if the travel life's going to continue because I'm obsessed with it, but we'll see.
I totally understand you there. I moved out to California 3 years ago, thought I'd be here for 1 year. Here we are. You just have to leave.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. I mean, there's so many places to see in California. So I don't want to like, just because I love the first spot doesn't mean that, you know, I should stop, because I feel like there's just like so many different places. So that's kind of where I'm headed, is probably Southern California, even a little bit more like San Diego, if I can get a job there. So we'll see how it goes.
Ooh, very nice choices. I love it. I'm in SoCal, so that's awesome. If you come down, we'll have to hang out. But
yes, definitely. I mean, I love all the traveler powwows, so I'd like for that to happen.
Oh yeah, just keep me posted. I love it. Well, so everybody who's listening, Alexis, like I said, does PT travel, and we want to talk about all of that on the podcast. But before we do that today, we have started a new segment a few weeks ago where we want to share a Wanderly fun fact, because we are moving at an incredible pace with Wanderly and with growth and just kind of with all of our different agencies and our travelers. It's incredible and we're really proud of it. So the fun fact about today is that one of our features, and so it's called Anonymous Chat, which is pretty self-explanatory. But why we find this important is that we've seen in the industry where a lot of healthcare travelers don't necessarily always have control over their chats. They have to call a recruiter, or they're being called a ton of different times at all hours of the day. And in addition to that, to find out information about an assignment, they usually have to submit paperwork. And there's just a whole lot of things that people have to do before they just get information that they're looking for. It might be, you know, a means to a dead end with all this paperwork they have to fill out and all these phone calls, and they might still not even get the information they're looking for, or what they wanted out of the assignment. So Wanderly has created Anonymous Chat. And what that means is that when you chat with our recruiters that are on the site from all the leading agencies about all of the different fully detailed pay packages, you have the opportunity to chat with them anonymously and know all of the information about the entire assignment. And you decide when you send over your contact information. So I don't know, Alexis, do you have any kind of experience with that and any sort of insight to this new feature? Because we're super excited about it, with giving the healthcare travelers the ability to chat with recruiters at their own pace and without giving up all their information.
I absolutely love that. I think that sounds amazing. That's definitely one of the drawbacks with working with numerous recruiters and different companies, because you feel exhausted by the amount of like skills checklists that you have to do and forms that you have to upload. So this sounds like a great sort of aspect to, you know, finding more information about jobs when you don't have to provide all of that information to each specific person just to get the basic 411. So I love the sound of that. That sounds great.
Awesome. Well, thanks. We do too. And I think it also is going to be really conducive to creating a good like traveler recruiter relationship in this newness that we've been able to develop, because it makes the recruiters, I feel like, they have to really try to get to know you, which I think there's so many incredible recruiters out there that have wonderful relationships with their travelers. But I think it does. It makes they have to, you know, kind of work for the respect and for the conversation. And I don't think that leads to anything but a really beneficial relationship for both people that are involved. So we're excited to see how, like, the continued feedback that we get and how it ends up rolling out. But so that's the Wanderly fun fact. We're going to keep sharing those with you guys every single podcast. But Alexis, let's talk about you, because I've been really excited to have you on. I know we've met you through social media efforts, but tell us about you. How did you get into PT, travel, your hobbies, assignments, anything that you want to chat about? Because we want to get to know you.
So I got into travel PT because I basically grew up in that small town in Connecticut, as I mentioned before, and I knew that I wanted to spread my wings. It sounds so cliche, but just go somewhere different. And I was scared to just accept a permanent position in a new city and, you know, get an apartment and just kind of uproot everything when I, you know, was very just unsure at that time in my life. I was in my early 20s. So travel, I just learned a lot about it, and it just seemed like a great way to get an experience in different cities for a short period of time. Like 3 months, I feel like, is the perfect amount of time to really get a good idea of whether or not you'd want to live in a city that, you know, wherever you're living. So that's why I decided to do it. And I started actually doing two assignments in Connecticut because I still had my apartment. So it's kind of like an easy transition to, you know, get the traveler feel in your own home state and then, you know, take the plunge. And I think that for people that live or have children and, you know, live in their home somewhere and don't want to actually travel, you know, the travel pay is great and you can stay locally, you know, in your own area as long as you don't mind that drive of 50 miles or whatever it may be. And I personally, for me, I like driving. So if, you know, that works out for people, I think that's great. And that's something to consider. But yeah, so I decided to do the travel and, I did numerous assignments on the East Coast, Nantucket twice and Boston twice and Portland, Maine. So I really spread my wings with, going to California and I don't regret it at all. It's just been like the best decision I've ever made. And I think driving cross country was so fun. So for travelers to do that and take advantage of it, I highly recommend it. And
No, I was just gonna say I love that. I totally agree with you. I love being in the car. I love driving. So sorry, keep going.
No, yeah, I love driving too. That's why I'm doing home health right now. I feel like it just breaks up the day so much, and I love listening to music and, you know, things like that. So it's fun. But hobbies, surprise, surprise, I would say traveling is a big hobby of mine. I try to plan a vacation between, you know, every travel assignment I get. And sometimes it works out that I even have a vacation plan during my travel assignment. And people always ask me, like, how do you do that? And I try not to do it. But if it does happen, because I've planned something with someone, I, you know, just ask for it ahead of time, as we all do. And I always am just very flexible. And I say that up front when I'm interviewing, that I will, you know, flex and I will work longer to make up for, you know, the vacation time. And that's sort of what's happening now because I'm going on a vacation soon. Other things, hobbies of mine are cooking. I love looking up new recipes, and trying new cuisines that are different in the house. My sister, actually older sister, she lives in New York City. She has a blog where she taste tests, different recipes from like all over, and then she'll rate it like on a grading scale. And then she'll give recommendations on how to make it an A+. And it's, you know, not very, you know, unique per se because she's not creating the recipes, but her additions and spins are awesome. And so I actually get a lot of my recipes from her. And I have people like comment on my Instagram stories all the time. And they're like, where did you find this recipe? It's so good. So, shout out to my sister. She's pretty awesome.
That sounds super cool. I definitely want to check out that blog. I love that. I love to cook too. We actually are very similar, and I didn't know that, and I didn't expect that, but we have a lot of, I guess, commonalities between us that are really cool. I love to cook, I love to travel, love to drive, love to be in the car. I'm very similar in all that. I love that. Well, I was gonna.
That's so funny.
Well, and what I think is super cool about having you on this podcast as a guest is that you're in PT. So I wanted to ask you for my next question. What kind of challenges as a PT traveler do you think that you guys face uniquely? But I also wanted to ask you, I don't really know how else to phrase it other than, have you found any annoyance with this, or does this even faze you, or have you even noticed this? Do you feel like you're grouped in, or when people say, you know, travel nursing, do you feel like you're grouped into one big clump, even though it's a completely separate profession, or have you found a pretty solid community, or I don't know, I guess people, just the way that they're communicating about it, have you found them to be pretty separate, or have you ever felt clumped in, and has that ever been kind of a bother for you, or what other challenges have you guys faced? Because I've heard that before, and I wanted to get your opinion on that.
I think it's just a lot of, I guess a challenge would be explaining my profession to people, which at the end of the day isn't a huge deal. But yes, people haven't really heard of traveling therapy as comparison to traveling nursing. It's just so much more common. So every time I explain what I do to people, that I then say, it's kind of like traveling nursing. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. So yeah, it can get a little frustrating, but I honestly think the travel PT community is huge. I've honestly met a bunch of people in my travel PT jobs in particular, and as well as on Instagram. I've met people online that are travelers, and we've met up and like done hikes out here in Santa Barbara. It's been great. So I actually think that there's a really big PT community. I think it's just not, you know, well known to the public per se.
Sure, sure, sure. That makes total sense to me. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I've heard from a lot of different specialties and different even allied positions, and then also from PT, that there's sometimes everyone just gets clumped into travel nursing and they're so different. So I feel like we still have a little ways to go, I guess, with public education about that kind of stuff. But I didn't know how, if you had any experience with that. So that's some good insight. Have you done staff PT and travel PT?
No, I've only done travel PT. Yeah.
That's really, really cool. Okay. I was curious about if you had any like pros and cons for one versus the other, but I guess we can just switch it up. Do you think you're going to just stick with travel then for quite a while?
I think so. That's the plan. I definitely am getting kind of content on where I am right now, but, I think I've only been here for about a month now, so I'm sure my itch will start soon and I'll want to go to the new location, but I really am. The whole purpose of me doing travel was to find a place to settle down and live. So in the grand scheme of things, kind of that's what I'm looking for. And I think traveling has made, you know, my life so much easier in doing so. And so I will like always hold that near and dear in my heart. So we're just going to kind of see where the wind blows me, but it's either continuing or staying here.
Well, I definitely think if the wind continues to blow you to Southern California, you're going to love it and you're going to want to stay.
Oh. But there are, I know, everyone tells me San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. And there are so many travel positions out here. You could even just cruise around SoCal for quite a while and still be in travel positions, which is, I think, a myth that people haven't really been able to learn about. And I also think it's something that can definitely be taken advantage of. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What would you say about the industry in general? What do you think we need to still improve with travel healthcare? And where do you see it in 5 years?
One thing that I would like to see it improve, and this like stems from kind of like the education system and just like going to PT school, they really push for us students to get a permanent job when we first started physical therapy after graduation and passing our boards. And I think that that's kind of a myth in some ways. I think that we need to be educated more in school about, you know, what's a good travel PT position versus a poor travel PT position, what to look out for, not to kind of hinder you from, you know, doing travel therapy or travel nursing, because I actually think it's a great career to have. And it's just about getting, you know, smart in how you choose your assignments, and also asking the right questions to make sure that you have a mentor and you say that you're a new grad. And I found it to be great, and I've had, you know, great training in my assignments that I've started. I've only had one bad experience, and that was my first PT assignment, and I actually think that, you know, I should have asked better questions during the interview, and that would have just solved everything. So I really hope that there's going to be more education in the school system to prepare new grads that want to do travel instead of, you know, steering them away and not giving them the best advice.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because I had a similar experience. I think that is really important to talk about too, especially at the educational level. When I was graduating nursing school in 2015, I was told that I could never get an ICU job, or that it would be really unsafe for me to work in critical care, and that I shouldn't go for those things. I should work a few years on either a step down or tele or med surg unit before even try to think about ICU. But that's really where my heart really lied. And I wanted to be in the ICU, and I had done my senior preceptorship there. So I'd worked there for 8 months already. I felt very confident and comfortable, and I really wanted to go for it. So I ended up going for it and getting the job. And I had somebody tell me that they thought that I was making a huge mistake. And I think you're totally right. I think that there is sometimes that lack of maybe support in trying something new that's not, I guess, you know, the norm or what people or professors or faculty just assume that you should be doing because it might be what was right for them. And so I absolutely agree with you. There needs to be a little bit more open-mindedness for sure.
Yes, definitely. And I think that, you know, travel isn't for everyone and that's, you know, okay, but you know, everybody's so different and, you know, everybody's so different in your class. And I just think that they should just be just educating a little bit more broadly. But in general with like the travel like industry, I think what I'd like to see improve is maybe, I don't know, with the staffing companies that you work for, because that's generally, you know, who we're employed with and, you know, where we get our benefits from and everything. I would like to see them maybe be able to offer vacation or sick time if you like occur that with them by working, you know, a certain number of hours or assignments, because that can sometimes be challenging for, you know, travelers. I know our pay is, you know, typically higher, but, you know, when you, if you get sick and you're off for, you know, a couple of days, it can really just hit you out of nowhere. So if, you know, that could be something that, you know, staffing companies work towards, just making it feel like more of a career.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's really great. Cool. Well, everybody that's listening, Alexis has obviously some really great information about PT travel if you're curious. So you should probably reach out. She is.
Yes, definitely.
I was going to talk to you about this too, because we talked about the recipes and love that. And I love to cook and I'm a huge foodie, but that's kind of the way that you were introduced to me through one of our other marketing gals was she's a foodie. You're going to want to talk to her, Kel. And I'm like, absolutely. So let's switch gears a little bit. Will you tell me about how, you know, you're being a foodie and favorite spots along your travels, favorite food and drink, just really anything that you've kind of come across, because I think it's a fun topic and I think a lot of people are interested in it.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think that's like one of the benefits of being a traveler is going to new cities and experiencing their cuisine, because I think each place, you know, has a different niche and they have what they're good at. And you can really just, you know, embrace yourself in the culture that way, too. I think typically my favorite types of foods are farm to table restaurants with, you know, local produce and fresh meats and seafood. I love just like eating whatever is there. Like farm food is my favorite. I also love sushi restaurants. Sushi is like my second favorite food, and wood fired pizza joints. And of course, like dabbling in local breweries and wineries, and there's plenty of that in Santa Barbara. I typically find the restaurants that I want to go to on social media websites like Instagram. I feel like that's such a great way to find local food restaurants with like great following, great events, because I think marketing is a huge way to just like find restaurants to go to. So I use that a lot. I also love reading up on people's blogs, because I think that kind of going based on Yelp, you basically just hear people complaining more than, you know, giving a good feedback about restaurants. So I do a little bit of that, but I've, my past experience, I've been in the restaurant industry for about like 10 years. I've recently stopped a couple of years ago. My stepdad's a chef, so I feel like I have pretty good taste in food. So I like to keep my own list in my phone. My notepad is filled up with different cities that I've traveled to and recommendations for friends and just myself on, you know, different items to order at certain restaurants, where to go. Everyone tells me I need to create my own blog because my iPhone is scary with the amount of information I have in there. So that's my goal and future project is to definitely start a blog and just, you know, share my recommendations with people. But in regards to different places I've traveled to, Nantucket was amazing seafood. I don't know if you've ever been, Kelly, but it's a great place. And go ahead if you have anything.
I was going to say I've never been there, but I would love to. And I also, I can't wait until you're done to tell you this. You have to start the blog. You really do, because just as you're explaining to me what you would be offering, I want to go and check it out. And you have a survey of the most successful influencers, social media people, blogs. Anyone that's trying to reach an audience, the most successful ones are someone that offers a service, not just the ones that, you know, have just beautiful photos, but offer something where people can continuously come back and rely on you and expect something cool, some sort of service. And you've got that, girl. I think you should do it.
Definitely. I would love to. I'm just going to give you my top favorites really quick for, you know, people that are listening and are going to travel these places. Lola 41 in Nantucket has amazing sushi, and on Sunday nights they have buy one get one sushi, which it's kind of a pricey place. So if you're on island on a Sunday, definitely do that. Nautilus has, I think, one of the best blue crab fried rice dishes with a soft egg on top. It is amazing. And then Cisco Brewery, I hold that near and dear to my heart. So you have to go and have one of the rosés there. It's amazing. And of course, all their beers. And then Boston, Neptune Oyster has one of my favorite lobster rolls. And then, you know, sometimes I like to be bad and have a donut. Of course, we're all human here. Blackbird has the best donuts. And then Portland, Maine, I love the breweries that they have there. Just you can't go wrong with any of them. Central Provisions is one of my favorite farm-to-table restaurants for local tapas. And now that I'm in Santa Barbara, I'm definitely experiencing all the new places and fun restaurants they have to offer. But the Funk Zone, which is a small little area in downtown, has awesome breweries and wineries. You can just walk around and spend your whole afternoon there. So definitely worth checking out.
Ooh, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you created that list. Thank you for going to all that trouble. That's really cool. I love that.
Yes. More to come.
I love it. Okay, so you were telling me you were about to start a new book, and for a good reason. So will you share a little bit about that with the audience?
Oh, yes. So my next trip that's planned is to Australia with my brother. I'm going for a couple weeks, and I'm super excited about it. And my aunt is actually a librarian, and she just loves books. And she said that if you don't read this book before you go to Australia, you will regret it. And it's by Bill Bryson. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called In a Sunburned Country. And it's basically his memorable travel adventures. And he's just storytelling all through his Australia experience. So just about the different lethal wildlife that they have. And beautiful nature to, you know, discover. So I am very excited because I, you know, like to read travel books that are about experience more so, and, you know, people's experience. And again, that's why I love blogs. I feel like I get to understand so much about like what to expect and where to go. And I think that it's a great way to travel, is just to do research in that way and, you know, find books that are a little story and adventure.
Yes, I love it, love it, love it. I was in Australia in September, and you're going to have a blast.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. People are scaring me with some of the wildlife that you can encounter. I'm like, am I going to survive?
No, you're totally going to survive. You have to hold a koala while you're there. It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. You're getting me excited.
Okay, we have to send us some photos. So you have to send the Wanderlei team some photos, because we're going to absolutely want to see you out there and keep up with your travels. Do you have anything else though that you want to add, Alexis? Because I've asked you everything I wanted to talk about, and I think you're just so great, and you can be an awesome resource for people. So do you have anything else that you want to add, or where people can find you or anything like that?
Yeah. So, as of now, blog's not started as we discussed, but you can find me on Instagram. My handle's Alexis Hutch. And, I think that maybe you'll see some photos of me surfing. That's my goal while I'm out here, is I really want to learn how to surf. So I need you guys to hold me accountable to that.
Very cool. Well, good luck. I tried it a couple times. It's tough, but it's really fun, especially trying. So that's a super exciting, and we want to have that update as well. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. For everyone that's listening, that's Alexis Hutchings, and she is a PT traveler, and we are so thankful that she jumped on. So thank you again. This was awesome, and we will see you guys all next week for another episode of The Happy Traveler. As always, you can leave us feedback, send us comments, email us. If you connect with Alexis, we want to hear about it. So just everybody, I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend, and we will see